Life Can Be Beautiful, written by Kyle Bixby and Don Becker, and brought to you by Spick and Span. Yes, Spick and Span, the new cleaner that cleans with no rinsing, no wiping. Today, my voice comes into your home with good news for Fall House Cleaning. It's about Procter & Gamble's marvelous new cleaner, Spick and Span. But you know, I'd really like to bring Ann Bradley to your home in person and let this charming home service expert of ours demonstrate how Spick and Span cleans dozens of things, like painted walls, woodwork, and linoleum, to gleaming perfection with no rinsing and no wiping.
Oh, Don, I certainly wish that were possible, what you suggest. I mean a personal visit.
Why, sure, and then each woman could show you exactly what fall cleaning job she dislikes the most.
That's it. Suppose, friends, that you just hated to tackle the hall woodwork, especially around those banisters. It's been very hard to clean with soap and water, hasn't it? Well, I would say to you, all right, let's try something made to do this kind of job easily and in half the time, that is, Spick and Span. And then I would dissolve some Spick and Span in hot water, and I'd wring out the cloth well, following directions on the package, take a few easy rubs, and the clean section of woodwork would be gleaming like a mirror. You see, Spick and Span doesn't just push the dirt aside. It carries the dirt right away at the first touch of the cloth.
You don't rinse, and you don't wipe dry.
Oh, that's right. And Spick and Span's grand for all your heavy fall cleaning.
Like floors and window frames, smoky kitchen walls, they'll sparkle.
And that, of course, means the daily cleaning jobs are a breeze, too. From the kitchen sink to tub and tile, you do each job quickly with no rinsing and no wiping.
And Spick and Span is safe for paint and safe for hands. And Spick and Span has been granted the Good Housekeeping Seal. At your grocers or other dealers, Spick and Span. Life Can Be Beautiful. Just before Police Officer Dennis came to the bookshop to question Phil Crawford in connection with the strange death of Roy Graham, Rose Brown, Phil's assistant and once engaged to Graham, begged Chi-Chi not to mention that she, Rose, had seen Graham alone just before his death. Rose was in a state of panic. But shortly after, she appeared in the doorway of the small kitchen at the rear of the bookstore and said,
I'm the one most concerned, and I'm the only one who can tell you everything that happened.
Why?
You see, I had a long talk with Roy last night just before he died. I'm sure I was the last one to see him alive, and I think I can clear up the whole thing for you.
Anybody yet want more coffee?
No one did. Chi-Chi put the pot back on the stove and waited for the detective to speak.
Well, that's fine, Miss Brown. It'll save me a lot of work.
Rose, before you say anything, I hope you understand that Lieutenant Dennis is from the Homicide Bureau and that he suspects that Dr. Graham was murdered.
That's perfectly ridiculous. Roy took his own life.
I'm sure he did, Rose, but can we prove it?
If you've got something to say, it'll save time, Miss Brown. If you just go right ahead, tell me all about it, instead of waiting for me to ask questions.
I've known Roy Graham for almost a year. At first, we went out together quite often. I never loved Roy, but he was good company and he didn't drink too much. And I, well, in certain moods, I may have given him some reason to think that I cared for him. He loved me, but it was a strange kind of love. He became possessive. He was always in a frenzy. He was insanely jealous. I hardly dared to smile at a waiter because Roy might think I was flirting with him. He asked me to marry him. I refused. Then he said he would marry me anyway. And in his distorted mind, that made us engaged. He announced it, told all our friends. No one else would date me because they were afraid of Roy. Whenever he'd become jealous, he'd drink. Drinking made him depressed and ugly. When I had a chance to come and work for Dr. Crawford, I was glad because it would let me get away from Roy. At least I thought it would. But he came down here to see me and was obnoxious. I told him to stay away, but he wouldn't. Last night he was in a particularly quarrelsome mood, and after seeing, he went out making threats.
Against whom, please?
Dr. Crawford and me. I knew that Roy was dangerous in that mood, and I asked Chi-Chi, Mrs. Hamilton, to see if she could calm him. She went after him. Then I became worried about her. And I went out and found them. I sent Mrs. Hamilton home, and I tried to talk some sense into Roy. He commanded me to love him. He said that life without me wouldn't be worth living. If I didn't do something to prove that I loved him, he'd kill himself. He even said how he would. He said he'd jump in the river and have it over with. I tried to get him away from the river. We went to a small waterfront restaurant and had a few drinks.
You knew that drinking depressed him.
By then, I was frantic, Lieutenant Dennis. I thought I could make him relax. But it became so much worse, I didn't know what might happen. So I left him. It was very late. I thought he'd follow me, but he didn't. This morning, when I read the newspaper, I realized why. He said he would kill himself, and he did.
I see.
By the way, just as I came to the door, I heard you say that if Dr. Crawford were jealous, he would have a motive for killing Roy. Well, I can assure you that Dr. Crawford wasn't jealous. He doesn't care for me at all. Roy's quarrel with Dr. Crawford had nothing to do with it.
What quarrel was that, Miss Brown?
When Phil...
Oh, Rose, that had so little to do with it that we hadn't even mentioned it.
Oh.
I'd like to hear about it, Dr. Crawford. Why did you and Graham have a quarrel?
Phil, I didn't mean to say something I shouldn't.
That's all right, Rose. Lieutenant, Roy Graham came up to my flat and became abusive. I asked him to leave, and when he refused...
Wait a minute, Phil. I must warn you. You're not required to give information which may be distorted or misinterpreted and used against you.
That's right, Doctor. You don't have to answer.
Oh, I'm sick of dodging questions and giving half answers. When he refused to leave, I hit him, and he fell down the stairway.
Was he bruised?
If he wasn't, his hide must have been thicker than I thought it was.
That could account for the bruises that were reported in the newspaper item.
Doctor, you still haven't told me why you fought with Graham.
He was abusive.
Lieutenant Dennis, there's a matter of ethics involved. Only a few days ago, there was a professional disagreement between Dr. Crawford and Dr. Graham. Dr. Crawford was the surgeon. Dr. Graham assisted. The patient didn't survive. Based on some hospital gossip, the patient's husband accused Graham, and Graham turned on Dr. Crawford. There was an inquiry, and Dr. Crawford was held blameless. Graham had a grudge against Dr. Crawford.
I see. Did he threaten you in any way, Dr. Crawford?
Why, yes, he made some wild threats.
And did you threaten him?
Yes, I believe I did.
You only said what you did because you were angry, Phil?
That's when people usually make threats and carry them out, too. Well, Doctor?
Phil, you don't have to answer that question.
Why shouldn't I answer it? This officer is no fool. He knows much more about all this than we think he does. I didn't kill Graham, and if my answers to the policeman's questions are going to incriminate me, I may as well face it now instead of later. I don't know why you ask that question, Lieutenant, but the answer isn't good. Yes, I threatened Graham. I remember standing at the head of the stairs after I hit him and saying something to the effect that if he annoyed me anymore, I'd kill him. It was said in a fit of temper, of course. Perhaps even that is a damaging admission, because you may say that having a hot temper, I might have carried out the threat. What size handcuffs do you have?
Phil, there's no use sticking him up that far out.
I wish you'd take your own advice and not talk so much.
Phil, I've told the officer that Roy killed himself, and I know he did.
Can you prove it, Miss Brown?
Prove it? What? No, I don't see how I can, but he told me. He even told me how he would.
Lieutenant, as you know, I'm an attorney, and we both know that Miss Brown doesn't have to prove it. If the state accuses a citizen, the state must prove its case. If Crawford's statement that he might kill Graham is going to be taken seriously, Graham's statement to Miss Brown that he'd take his own life must be credited. And another thing, Dr. Crawford's threat was based on the contingency that Graham continued to annoy him, a condition which was not fulfilled, because Crawford didn't even see Graham again. Whereas Graham's threat to take his own life was conditioned only by Miss Brown's refusal to love him, and that contingency was met. Miss Brown did refuse to love him.
I never did love him.
Dr. Crawford, where were you last night between the hours of, say, 2 and 3?
I've told you, I have no alibi.
Where were you?
I had a personal problem to work out, Lieutenant. I was upset, and I walked for quite a while. It was after 3 o'clock when I turned in.
You were alone all this time?
Yes. Except when I talked with Jerome and Mike Reardon at his restaurant. Jerome is the man who helps Mr. Hamilton.
Where is this restaurant?
Down on the waterfront.
What's the name of it?
Crescent. Crescent Restaurant.
Miss Brown, what did you say was the name of the restaurant you and Dr. Graham went to?
Crescent. I didn't know Dr. Crawford was there.
Jerome told me that Miss Brown and Graham had left shortly before.
Then you knew that Dr. Graham was or might be in the vicinity.
I suppose he had taken Miss Brown home.
But Miss Brown says he didn't. What time did you leave the restaurant?
I don't know, Lieutenant. I wasn't there long.
Did you have anything to drink?
Yes.
Then what did you do between the time you left the restaurant and the time you went to bed?
I walked. Sat on the wharf.
Alone?
Yes.
Dr. Graham must have been nearby. Did you see him?
No.
Does anybody want some more coffee?
No, thanks. Dr. Crawford, a few minutes ago you said that the police might know more than you think we do. You're right. We have reason to believe that Dr. Graham did not take his own life. I think you'd better dress and come to headquarters with me.
No, please. Roy did kill himself. I know he did.
Then what does that mean, going to headquarters?
Yes. What does it mean, Lieutenant?
Am I being arrested?
Yes, Dr. Crawford. I'm forced to place you under arrest on a charge of murder.
As the evidence closes in on Phil Crawford, even we who know him are forced to wonder if he is guilty. And if Phil has courage enough to believe that his life can be beautiful.
Perhaps you've heard of Spick and Span's Happy Mrs. Haley, who doesn't wait for weekends, but gets things shining daily.
Very cute, Don. And no jingle was ever truer. Procter & Gamble's new cleaner, Spick and Span, is making daily cleaning easy for thousands upon thousands of women.
No rinsing, no wiping. That's the reason.
Oh, really, friends, there's nothing like Spick and Span. Try it on some painted surface that you'd like to do in a hurry. Just dissolve some Spick and Span in hot water, wring out your cloth, and take a few easy strokes, and that dirt is gone. The colors that were dingy and gray are bright and vivid again.
And remember, in half the time, with Spick and Span, there's no going back for leftover streaks, no going back to rinse or wipe dry.
Imagine, Spick and Span cleans beautifully at the first touch of the cloth. So why not let Spick and Span work its wonders on your woodwork? Let it make cleaning linoleum a thrilling new experience. Why not have Spick and Span handy for all your cleaning jobs, big or small? Because, friends...
There's no rinsing, there's no wiping when you clean with Spick and Span. There's no rinsing, there's no wiping when you clean with Spick and Span. Things get clean to beat the band when you clean with Spick and Span.
So, friends, be sure to ask for Spick and Span today. This is Don Hancock.
And Ann Bradley.
Thanking you for listening. Life Can Be Beautiful is presented by the great new cleaner, Spick and Span.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.